I'm Nicolette Thomas, and this is my podcast, Watching with Friends. Every week, we watch and discuss a show or movie, and I invite a friend or two to join in. Today, Sarah and I will be discussing the 2006 classic Wendy Wu, Homecoming Warrior. Wendy Wu is a popular Asian-American teenager whose life is turned upside down from a visit by Shen, a young Buddhist monk who claims that Wendy is the reincarnation of a mighty female warrior and the only one who can prevent an evil spirit from destroying the world. Shen begs Wendy to wear a powerful amulet, which will protect her from evil until he can train her in the martial arts. Wendy is too busy campaigning for Homecoming Queen against her school rival Jessica, and can't be concerned about saving the world. Wendy's traditional grandmother knows that Shen is speaking the truth. Her own mother, Wendy's great-grandmother, was a previous Yin warrior who defeated Yan Lo in China 90 years earlier. The other members of Wendy's family have lost touch with their Chinese heritage. Shen's discussion of Chinese culture inspires Wendy's mother, who is a researcher at a museum, to further her research into her own culture. Shen also makes mooncakes, which does the same for Wendy's father. However, faced with a choice between fighting evil and going shopping, Wendy chooses to go to the mall with her best friends Tori and Lisa. Yan Lo soon materializes and sets out to destroy Wendy before she can attain her full Yin warrior powers. In quick succession, Yan Lo possesses a security guard at the museum, Wendy's brother, her dog, her principal, her teachers, her best friend Tori, and even Jessica Dawson. Wendy breaks up with her boyfriend, Austin, after noticing how toxic and self-absorbed he is. She also starts to bond more with Shen. With Shen's help, Wendy's teachers are possessed by the souls of five animal of Chinese martial arts to help teach Wendy. Just as Wendy completes her training, she learns she has become Homecoming Queen. She then discovers her battles to take place the same night as her homecoming dance. Feeling betrayed, she opts out of the battle. On the night of homecoming, her grandmother insists that Wendy fulfill her destiny, but Wendy refuses. Wendy then changes her mind when she learns from the monks that Shen has gone into battle alone. Wendy and the monks arrive to save Shen just in time. Wendy's martial arts training unleashes her inner heroine for the final fight with Yan Lo. The battle appears to be won, and Yan Lo is no longer possessing Jessica. Wendy then lets Jessica know that she is homecoming queen, and Jessica leaves. But the conflict is not over. Yan Lo returns in his true form. The battle continues. Shen attempts to sacrifice himself, as is his destiny, but Wendy saves him by changing his destiny. Wendy and Shen attack Yan Lo together, destroying him forever. The monks tell Shen that this is his last life and that they will ascend. In the end, Wendy and Shen leave and get cappuccinos and chocolate, which Shen said he had loved earlier in the movie. After this quick break, Sarah and I will be back to discuss our feelings on the movie.
Have you watched the show Bridgerton on Netflix?
Yes.
Oh my god, I've watched it like three times. Love it.
Who's in your love favorite?
With the Duke, Avi. I stalk him on Instagram, like, in a healthy way. He's so, our age.
My favorites are Colin.
I do like Colin. He's such a mama's boy, though. He kind of aggravates me a little bit.
So, speaking of Disney, he was on the Disney UK show, The Lodge. And he sings.
Okay, now I have to find it and figure it out. Because I like, obviously, I'm in love with the Duke, but I like Anthony because I think he's an asshole, but he's also a good guy. So yeah, I'm like,
he's my favorite.
And then I like Eloise because she's, I see like Eloise like me, who's just like, tell it like it is.
Oh, you're like, totally an Eloise. Over. So I do think it's telling that you really like Eloise because my favorite character was Penelope.
Oh my God. I can you see us? We would totally be hunting down, like, and I could totally see you, like, being like, but this is what I have to do. It's, you know, I'm out in society now. I'd be like, deuces, I don't give a fuck. I'm like that.
So yes, then, I think that's very telling of our friendship.
I know. Oh God. But yeah, no. Oh my God, I've watched it like 3 times so far. It's so good. I'm probably gonna watch it again because I love it so much.
All right. Moving on from Bridgerton.
Oh God,
Wendy Wu, Homecoming Warrior.
Was released in what, 2006? I know to say. Yeah, 2006.
Yes, 2006.
Nice. Yep. I forgot this one. I remember how I watched this at first. And then at first I was like, oh, this drags on so much. And then like right at the end, it gets really good. And then it ends and you're just like, well, what the hell? But it was so good.
Yeah, it is one of my top favorites.
Because it's also kind of like Mulan-esque. Like,
yeah, I definitely see that.
Like you can kind of tie it in with Mulan in a way, but that's, yeah. And not just for like the Japanese Chinese culture, but it's like she's a badass warrior and then, you know, comes to terms with it. It's cool.
So what were your like initial reactions? What did you remember? What did you not remember?
I remembered watching this movie when I was younger, but I didn't like, it was one of those ones where I didn't actually like remember. I remembered parts of it. Like, I liked Brenda Song. I watched her in like Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, Sweet Life on Deck. And I mean, especially seeing her in those where she's like an airhead bimbo type, you know, daddy's going to pay for everything, to being like a badass warrior / I think she's a cheerleader in this one too, right?
No, she actually isn't.
No, I thought she was a cheerleader.
She's on the soccer team.
Soccer team, something like that. It was kind of like a cool transition between, you know, what she also plays on Disney Channel versus what this is. And then how she was also like everything. It's, now she's always like hesitant about what she's been told about her future or her past or whatever you want to call it and what she's supposed to live up to. And then eventually she just gives in and becomes a warrior. Girl power, you know. Which again, Disney was really good with the whole like female empowerment stuff like that.
So what did you think of Wendy as a character?
I liked her. I thought she was a strong character. And I think too, Brenda Song was a good actress to pick for that character just because I don't know if she's even acting anymore, but she was like in the Disney sphere, she was such a strong actress and very versatile and can play many roles, and I think she fit in well with the whole Wendy Wu character.
Okay, I think she also has that, even when she was being the kind of social climbing girl,
yeah,
you still liked her,
right?
She wasn't, and one that's those something that, like, that I don't think some other actresses would have been able to pull off.
No, yeah, no. It was, yeah, she's one of those like down to earth, like even though she seems like she would be a bitch in real life, she seems approachable, even though like whatever she's doing.
So what did you think about the parallels between the popularity and
this destiny.
I think, I mean, and I hate to say it, but it's also kind of like Disney plays on this a lot, and in a lot of their shows kind of like this, where it's always like the main characters living their own life, and then all of a sudden they find out they're destined to be, like, spoiler alert, like Luck of the Irish, where, you know, he finds out, was it Luck of the Irish he finds
out? Oh my god, it really is Luck of the Irish as a female story.
Yeah, or like the 13th year, where it's like they're living their own life, and then they find out like their true life story, and then all of a sudden they like go hardcore and dive like so deep into it, and which I find, I mean, not that that's a bad thing, because I kind of like it, but it's also kind of very predictable, kind of like this, where Disney has done it multiple times, and Wendy Wu, the 13th year, Luck of the Irish, I'm sure there's more that I'm not thinking of, but I am thinking of.
I think that's the theme of DCOMs.
Yeah.
Because they are very predictable.
Uh-huh.
Because they want to teach a lesson.
Yeah.
They want to entertain.
Right.
And they always have to end with a happily ever after.
Right. So, but I mean, which I like, because again, like Disney, they always like you said, like to teach a lesson. So it's like, it's the different lessons of how you, basically how you, if you not internalize, but like you find your power from within, in a way. It's all in you. You don't really need anybody else's help. But what I didn't know until I rewatched it and then I did some research on it was supposed to be a sequel. That was, it said it was supposed to begin filming in 2008, but due to the critics, or whatever, it just wasn't popular, and they had canceled it. They were supposed to have like a second one. What did my notes say?
Because I want to see Shen in like regular world.
Yeah,
like says, completely just living life.
Yeah, well, because there's two. Because I'm looking at my notes again, because I printed up a little thing. It said that there were two. They're books. So
are
it's
they
like
really?
Yeah, it says right here, books and video games. So novels, Wendy Wu Homecoming Warrior, the junior novel, which was June. I think it came out like one of those ones that came out like after the
movie. It's the movie tie-in thing.
Pretty much. So that came out June 30th. And then there was a second one called Wendy Wu Homecoming Warrior 2, the junior novel, that was released in December 2008. And they were going to make that I'm assuming they're gonna make that movie, but then it says that in 2007 Variety reported that the second one was gonna be canceled, but it was gonna be based on if you got the DVD, there's an alternate ending where Yan Liu, who was the bad guy in it, the evil villain, was supposedly revealed to be possessing the Wu family dog, which no one knew about. So I think that was going to be their base. I mean, that would have been like...
The way they ended things was pretty solid.
It was kind of like, okay, that's where it needs to end. Like, I didn't even know that there was supposed to be a sequel until I did my research on it. And then I'm like, I don't think it would have been strong enough to support a sequel. Like, I think the sequel would have just, like, fallen flat and been, like, a waste of time. But
agree.
But yeah.
So then I brought him up, but my favorite character could easily be said to be Shen.
Yeah, he's the one who, like, he's the monk guy, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah.
I adored him.
He ends up, I watched it a couple weeks ago and I've been busy since, and I meant to rewatch it, but I forgot. He couldn't talk in the beginning, but then found his voice. Did he end up talking at the end? Or they end up
He was always talking.
He was
just his monk ways.
Yeah. So basically Yoda-esque. Like, where it's like a riddle every time and you have to figure it out. So
the other character I absolutely loved was Grandma.
Uh-huh.
I adored her.
She was so funny. She was so cute.
Oh my god. The best line, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Is when she's watching the soap opera. And so she's like reacting to it.
Yeah.
son-in-law's like, well, why don't you watch it in English so we can all, like, or in American so we can all enjoy it together. She goes, it is American. It's one of those Spanish dramas. He's watching a telenovela.
Novella. Nice. This
woman is a queen.
Nice. Love it. I love that. It is Spanish. It is American. It's telenovela. Oh, God. I love old people like that. They're pretty badass.
So I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was cool.
So to get a little deeper now.
Okay. Oh, boy.
The real kind of lesson of the story, besides, like, following your own destiny and whatever.
Uh-huh.
The conversation between the parents over the mooncakes.
Oh, I can't.
Which I really took as the main lesson of the story.
I can't remember what the conversation was about. Because, again, I watched it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. But... So, the dad freaks out. Because Shen makes mooncakes.
Okay.
And it's just something that, as he and his wife were trying to become more Americanized, they are first generation.
Yep.
They kind of left behind a lot of those traditions.
Yeah.
And so with it being brought back up, and it's like, oh, I'm not American enough. Oh, I'm not Asian enough. And it's that conversation.
Yeah.
And how to be both.
Yeah. Which I think that, like, a lot of immigrants struggle with, especially, like, the first generations, like the parents were, where they struggle with what they grew up with versus what they have to, especially, I mean, I know it was only 2006, but even still in the 90s, 2000s, even before then, where, like, you got the Chinese people coming over from America, you got, you know, everybody who's trying to become American, and they're trying to, the way they think of it is they have to leave the old country behind, so they have to be more American to fit in, and how hard it is for them to get rid of, to not get rid of, but, like, kind of put their own traditions that they've grown up with, that they were beat into their head every day, you know, that their mothers used to do for them and all that. They had to kind of put that on the back burner because they thought it would cast them out even more than how they already are perceived in the eyes of other Americans.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, it still happens today too. You see a lot of older generations who are still, even though they've been here for many, many years, they're still not hiding it, but they put it all on the back burner and try and forget what they've gone through or what they used to do traditionally.
Yeah. And this isn't the first time that Disney dealt with it, but it's also not the last, because I know, like, I clearly remember this happening with Lemonade Mouth.
Yes.
Because of, oh God, why can't I think of her name? But the Indian girl.
Yeah. And how she wanted to be a rocker and her parents were like, it's not the way. And yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And I mean, I'm sure even though, like, Lemonade Mouth comes to mind, I'm sure if we really, like, dive into it, there's going to be other Disney movies where, I mean, even in a way, you can kind of think, like, kind of foreshadowing, like, Halloween Town, where, like, Marnie's grandmother is a witch, obviously, but she's also grown up with these traditions, but her mom has to hide all these to try and, like, even hide them from her own kids, because that's not how you live in normal society. So it's like, even though it's not necessarily as, like, in your face as Wendy Wu or Lemonade Mouth, it's still, like, in a lot of the Disney movies if you dive deep enough.
Yeah.
Even The Color Purple, it was kind of like that too. Nope, I lied, that's not the name of it. That's not a Disney movie. The Color Friendship is kind of like that too, like, you know, they're all different, trying to fit in different cultures and having to give up what they've known in their real life.
Yeah. Oh. Cool. So one of the sillier things I wanted to comment on was just how iconically, like, especially, so for our listeners, because there are quite a few of you now.
Yeah.
We were 16 when this movie came out.
Yep. We're aging ourselves.
Outfits in this film.
Oh my God.
Were so perfectly 2006.
Oh yeah. Oh, totally. Oh, totally. Like,
her homecoming dress totally with the hot pink and the orange.
That was a thing. That was a thing. Like, I remember for my sister's favorite color was pink, so I know all this, but like for a while she'd always wear like pink and orange. She got a whole bunch of shirts that had like pink and orange stripes on them, and you're like, that really doesn't go together, but it did.
But even her hair.
Even her hair. Yeah.
It was the curly big hair with the straight bang.
Yep. That was exactly it. Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, it's such a time capsule.
Especially looking back now, and you're like, oh my God, we worshiped.
We dressed like that.
If we were okay with it, like, oh, can you imagine I didn't get our yearbook when we were 16, but can you just imagine, like, because I only got it for senior year, but can you, like, imagine?
Wait, you only got our senior year?
Yeah, I wasn't paying, like, $75 every year for
yearbook. Oh, see, my mom made me.
Yeah, no, my mom didn't care. She's like, senior year, that's all I cared about. But, like, can you imagine, like, just going back and looking at, like, even just, like, what we were for senior, like,
they're sometimes just up there.
I know.
I've got them like under 10 boxes, so I don't have to look at them.
I still have our middle school yearbook ones. All four years. All 4 years. Oh my God. Even then, like looking back, going, oh my God, what was I thinking? And even then, it wasn't even like we picked out our own clothes. Our parents picked out for us in a way. But like, oh. I will say that Wendy Wu was definitely one of those like, one movies that actually like totally like fit into 2006, or like you watch a movie and you're like, that's really not how we were dressing back then, but like it, oh my God, it really was.
So one thing that I learned when doing research
is
that the stunt coordinator was actually the stunt coordinator for the Power Rangers.
Yeah. Yet another movie we used to watch. Another show I used to watch all the time. Girl, I love the Power Rangers. Are you kidding me?
But so they actually did most of the bulk of filming in New Zealand, where they shoot Power Rangers.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
So, like the scenes with the teachers and the scenes which that scene. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
When Shen like has the monks possess her teachers.
To like get her to be a warrior and stuff. God. Yeah.
For it's like fantastic. Warriors.
It's like you sit there and you're like, I bet you there were a couple teachers I'd like to beat up.
But so I watched it with my mom because she's like, oh, let's like if you have to watch it, we'll watch it together.
Yeah.
She cracked up. When the teacher who was the crane was just like,
well, because that's such like a, everybody goes to that like kung fu move when they're like, even if they're just like joking, that's like the first move everybody does. It's like, God,
I loved it. And then they're just like, when they come out of it, and they're just like, what the heck? What where are we?
Yeah,
the crane was like, we all go to my house for tea.
Oh, grandma with tea. Oh, God. That's funny.
So I hit every point I wanted to hit. Did you have anything else you wanted to bring up?
No, I think I brought it all up. But yeah, I think I'm good.
Okay. So, final question and the most important question. Ranking this 1 to 10. What would you give it?
I would give it probably 7.
7? All right.
Yep. Yep. What about you?
I'd say an 8.
Okay.
I liked the diversity.
Uh-huh.
I love the character. I love Sean.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Just that. And the guy they got to play him.
He's so cute.
I think he was in something else too. Like when I was watching it, I'm gonna look it up real fast. But I think like when I was watching him again, I'm like, he looks awfully familiar, but I can't remember where he was from. And I could be like totally wrong.
But yeah, he was super cute.
Let's see. He did a lot of martial arts things. Like he was known for The Last Samurai, which would make sense.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So like that's what he's known for, which makes sense. But he did a lot of kung fu stuff in his look up.
So love him.
Yep.
Love grandma. Oh, love
sorry. Yeah. Oh yeah, she's awesome.
Love grandma. I would die for grandma. The brother, I thought he was funny.
Yeah, that's like one of those like supporting characters that you have to have in there. It's like, could do with, could do without. She was an only child. Would she be better? Like one of those things.
And I just really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It had everything. It had action. It had friendship.
It had awesome kung fu. Like funny kung fu.
But she's like floating and glowing.
Yeah. You're like, I don't think that actually happens, but let's believe it.
Oh my gosh.
Ugh, so funny.
And yes, of course, the wave of nostalgia that hit me.
Oh yeah. Well, especially because they got like 2006 right on the nail, like perfectly.
It was every single like stereotypical 2006 thing.
Oh yeah. And especially too because it was like we were 16, so like we were also in high school, like she was in high school, so it's kind of like more relatable when it came out, just because in a way, because it's like not necessarily the whole year samurai warrior, but like you were in high school, so you kind of like we were both in high school at the same time as this movie, so it's kind of like, oh okay, kind of see like the struggles of the teachers and the, especially like I played soccer for freshman year, and then like so it was like balancing all that and all the stuff that goes with being in high school. And prom.
Yeah. All right. So that is Wendy Wu, Homecoming Warrior.
Alright, so that was such a fun conversation. Again, a huge thank you to Sarah. If you feel like joining in the conversation, you can join us on our Facebook group or our Instagram page, which are both Watching with Friends. You can also shoot us an email at watchingwfriendspod@gmail.com. And we will hopefully be able to read some of your emails in future episodes. And yeah, so for next week, we are planning on watching the Wizards of Waverly Place movie. It's going to be a fun conversation. And with that, we will see you next week. Bye. Hey, no, no, no.